Hi, you guys. Today I want to talk about Matthew chapter 10, and I kind of just want to talk about a few verses that stood out to me and some notes that I got from them. So the first verses that I want to start with are verses 6 through 8. And those say, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give." And I really like this verse because Jesus is telling them where to go, what to say, and what to do. And I think it's cool that with the message, he's telling them what signs and wonders to accompany with the message and the things that he wants them to do and tells them to do are incredible. Like healing the sick, cleansing lepers — leprosy was huge back then — raising the dead, casting out demons — those are huge things and no small feats, and things that can only be done through the Spirit of God. And I love that these big things are associated with the message of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's telling them, listen, just as you received it freely, I need you to give it freely. So there's no like dollar amount attached to it. It's freely given, and they freely received it, and they were instructed to freely give it. And then he goes on to say in verses 9 and 10, more verses that stood out to me, "Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food." And Jesus is basically telling them to bring nothing. And I think it's just interesting that I feel like they're being forced to just have faith in where they're going, what they're doing, and who's sending them, because they're basically going out with nothing, and they're going to have to rely on other people to provide those things. They're going to have to rely on people to provide their food and to provide their clothing and provide their housing. And I think it's great. And he lets them know that they are going out, they're doing work. Like, because they're doing that work, they are worthy of being taken care of. And I think it just kind of lets them know that it's okay to accept that hospitality, because they also kind of just had to, because they didn't have anything. So then I really liked verse 14 as well. Verse 14 says, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. So they would go in and they would bless a house if it was worthy, and if it was worthy, then their blessing would stay, and if it wasn't worthy, then they would take their blessing for them. And if people, like, so for verse 14, that part when he's saying, whoever will not receive you or hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. And for me, it's like a sign of moving on, shaking that dust off your feet. You know, you can't walk around with those past rejections. You have to dust your feet off, dust your shoes off, and keep moving on. And then verse 16 through 20, that those say, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in your synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who would speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." And in these verses, Jesus is telling the disciples to be gentle. And lets them know that he's sending them out into the midst of wolves, but they are to be gentle. So that already just kind of shows me that how we are to look different, because that he's telling them to go out and be gentle. But he doesn't send them out and just tell them to be gentle and pushed around and walked all over. He's saying, hey, but be wise. Be wise and harmless. So, you know, have your wits about you, but don't come out biting, basically. And he tells them to beware. So be on the lookout, you know, stay alert. And I just like that Jesus is honest with them about the world that they're going into. And he's telling them to be wise, to be alert, but to look different. Be harmless. Don't go out there looking for a fight. Don't go out there looking to bring harm to someone or someone's household. I just thought that was really cool. And, you know, in those verses, he says, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." And I think that's a beautiful promise, because Christians are going to be persecuted and you're going to be tried. And I think that promise that the Father will speak through us should help our boldness. I know for me, it should help my boldness, and to really just believe that the Spirit is going to speak through me, and how I'm supposed to say something and what I'm supposed to say will come because the Spirit is going to use me. And then verse 22 is something that I had on here as well. "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Once again, Jesus is just being real, and he's like, everybody is going to hate you. And I think that kind of explains why Christians are always persecuted. I know for me, I'm hesitant to talk about Jesus, because I know how Jesus makes people feel. The room gets tight, people clam up, you know, bodies start shifting. It just becomes really uncomfortable, and to the point that you feel like people hate you for what you're saying. And Jesus is like, hey, that's normal, but we have to look to the end. In the end, Jesus is going to save us. We will be able to be with him for eternity. So it's worth it. That temporary rejection, the temporary hatred, which is going to feel like eternity, isn't eternity, actually. Then I want to go over verses 32 through 40. And Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." That is heavy. So my husband has been on this. He's listening to this new podcast, and he's really excited about sharing Jesus and talking about us doing that through different methods. And I have to be honest, it is terrifying me. I am scared, but seeing this verse really kind of has me like, whew, I do not want Jesus to deny me when I get to heaven and not before God. That is not something that I want. So reading these two verses, 32 and 33, are an encouragement for me, because it's like, I have to confess Jesus before people. I have to do it, because I do not want to be denied in heaven. Like, that is just not what I want. I don't want to be denied in heaven, and I also don't want to be denied here on earth. Like, I don't know, because it says, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And if Jesus is our liaison to God here while we're on earth, I really don't need, you know, I don't need Jesus to be talking to God and be like, listen, she doesn't really, she's kind of denied me on earth. I need my prayers to be heard. I need God to know who I am. So that's just me saying, it's important that we confess Jesus before men. And we have to just remember that he's with us, and it's worth it. It's worth it, because we don't want Jesus to deny us before God. And then 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And he who receives me, he who receives me receives him who sent me. Oh my goodness. They're like tongue twisters. But just to circle back, Jesus is like, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So he's here. He was here to tear things up, to cut things down. He's not all peace. He gives us peace, but the Spirit shakes things up. These earthly things, these worldly things, the Spirit shakes them up. And he's telling us that we can't love anybody else more than we love him. We can't do it. And I feel like it's so easy to, because we see those people, our moms, our dads, our sisters, our family members, because we see them in the flesh every day, it's easy for us to put those people above God, above Jesus, and we're not supposed to do that. And he's saying, if you do that, you're not worthy of me. And I feel like we begin loving on Jesus more by spending more time with him, by praying, by thanking him for all that he's done, by thanking him for his sacrifice, by reading the Bible, learning what he has said to us, learning what he said about us, learning the power that we have through him. We begin the same way that you begin loving somebody on earth. You spend time with them, you get to know their character, you get to know how you feel around them, how they feel about you. That's the kind of love that we have to begin prioritizing for Jesus. And we have to give our lives to him. I feel like losing our life for Jesus means that we set aside the desires that we put in place for ourselves, and we receive the desires that Jesus has for us. And he has a work for us. We are meant to go out and spread the message that he has, that the kingdom of heaven is near, like Jesus is here. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. And that's something that we have to do every day. Every single day, we have to consciously put Jesus first. We have to consciously think on holiness. We have to consciously strive to be like him, strive to know him more, strive to make sure that he knows who we are. We have to strive to do that. It's not something that we can put on the back burner. We have to love him more than we love anybody else. We have to love his plan and his purpose for us more than we love our plan for our life. And I believe it comes through reading the Bible, praying, learning about him. So those were my notes on a few of the verses in Matthew chapter 10. I would encourage you to read through it yourself. Jesus says some amazing things, and they're all so bold. So I would encourage you to go through Matthew chapter 10 yourself and pick out some notes that stand out to you, pick out some verses that stand out to you, and I hope it really helps. I know Jesus says good things, and it's good that we know what he's said and what he's talking about. So thank you guys for listening to this. I really hope this helps, and I look forward to discussing another chapter with you.